The following is a Gita Champions League address, given by His Grace Sriman Sankarshan Das Adhikari, recorded on June 7th, 2014, in Phoenix, Mauritius.
Vandeham Shri Shri Jata Padakamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavam Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Ragana Tanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Param Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakam Vitam Namam Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschacha Deshatarine. So, Krishna very nicely describes here in Bhagavad Gita, chapter number 9, text number 2. Rajavijja Rajaguyam Pavitram Mitamuttamam Pachakshavagamam Dharmyam Shushukam Kratamamyayam. This knowledge is the most secret of all. This knowledge is the king of education. It is the most secret of all secrets. It is the purest knowledge, and because it gives direct perception of the self by realization, it is the perfection of religion. It is everlasting and it is joyfully performed. So what does this mean? Rajavijja. There are so many types of education in this world, but they fall short of the teachings of Bhagavad Gita. Therefore, Bhagavad Gita is Rajavijja. It's the topmost knowledge. What does that also mean? It means if you understand Bhagavad Gita, then you are the master of all knowledge. So this Bhagavad Gita, it should be taught by the pure devotees in every educational institution of the world. This Bhagavad Gita knowledge, it will solve all the problems of the world. So there's a great need of training as many people as possible in this science of Bhagavad Gita. Is this mere intellectualism? No. Bhagavad Gita is realized by practical application. If you simply study the verses and you don't apply the knowledge, you won't realize the knowledge. What does it mean to realize the knowledge of Bhagavad Gita? It means to connect with the person Krishna. You may say, well, how can I connect with Krishna? Arjuna could connect with Krishna because he was standing right there on the chariot. Or sitting, actually. He was... So, Krishna is not present here? Krishna is fully present. There is no place where Krishna is not present. This is confirmed in the Brahma Samhita. Ekopyasa rishavitam jagananda ko tim Jatshakstarasti jagananda chayayaranta andantarasta paramanuchayantarastam govindam adi purusham tamaham bhajami. He is an undifferentiated entity, as there is no distinction between potency and the possessor thereof. In his work of creation of millions of worlds, his potency remains inseparable. All the universes exist in him, and he is present in his fullness in every one of the atoms that is scattered throughout the universes at one and the same time. Such is the primeval Lord whom I adore. Brahmaji has just stated that Krishna is present within every atom that is scattered throughout all the universes. So Krishna is right here within every atom of in Mauritius. And wherever you go, anywhere within this material world, Krishna is fully present. Why don't I see him? Why don't I hear him? Why can't I touch him? One might ask. Well, I'll give you an example. Just like here, you have radio. I know I've appeared on your radio stations here. Some of your radio programs I've done. So, if you have a radio receiver, you can turn on the radio and you can hear a radio broadcast right here in this room, isn't it? So what does that mean? That means the radio waves are right here in this room. But unless you have a radio set, you cannot hear them because our ears are not on that frequency. They cannot hear the radio broadcast. But if you have a radio set, yes, you can hear. The radio waves are present all over Mauritius. Wherever you go, the radio waves are there. And if you have a radio set, then you can hear the radio broadcast. So in the same way, the radio waves are omnipresent throughout Mauritius. Krishna is present. But you have to have the proper instrument for experiencing him. Well, where do I get such a radio set? Where do I get such an instrument where I can personally experience Krishna? Is there a shop that sells it? Where can I get it? Well, you've already got it. It's called consciousness. But the problem is, just like your radio set becomes broken, our consciousness is out of order, in need of repair. So where's the repair shop to get my consciousness repaired? You see, that is called the ISKCON repair shop. And who is the repairman? That is the spiritual master and the senior Vaishnavas who are fixed in Krishna consciousness, you see. They are the repairmen. So you go to the ISKCON shop, you go to the repairmen, you give your consciousness to the guru or the senior devotees, and they train you how to repair your consciousness by chanting every day, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And by studying the Bhagavad Gita and by putting the Bhagavad Gita into practice. So the next statement in this verse is Rajaguyam. Why does Krishna say it is the most secret of all secrets? I mean, aren't we making Bhagavad Gita available for everyone? Just like the government, the U.S. government has top secrets. Very, very top secrets, you see. But this Bhagavad Gita, it is even more top secret. Why? It's available for everyone. How Christians say it's the topmost of all secrets? Because everyone is covered by the cloud of illusion. Therefore, in a state of confusion, it remains the topmost of all secrets. So we do not want it to remain secret. That's why we're having these training programs, Gita Champions League. We don't want this knowledge to remain secret. We want that everyone in the whole world should understand what is Bhagavad Gita, how to apply it, because this will solve all the problems of the world. Just like this flyer, this poster up here, environment, you see. It's one example. There's many posters around the room. You read all of them. Go around and read all of them during your visit here. Because these posters describe how Bhagavad Gita will solve all the problems of the world. Here we have a man who's overcome by anger, you see. Because he's trying to be the enjoyer, he's seeing everything as his property, but you can't do that. You can't pull off being the proprietor because you're not the proprietor. You come into this world with no properties and you leave with no properties. But you come in the middle and you claim this is mine, and then you fight and struggle with someone else who is claiming it is mine. But as soon as you accept the philosophy of Bhagavad Gita, Bhuktaram Jagatapasam Loka Sarva Loka Maheshwaram Suhridam Sarvabhutanam Gyatvamam Shantramrichati, as soon as you accept the teachings of Bhagavad Gita as your guiding principle, as your vision of reality, then where's the question of anger? There's no question of anger. I'm going to get as my quota whatever Krishna allots to me. Whatever I deserve or whatever I can use in his service, that he will give me. So why should I be angry if someone has more than me? You see? It's up to Krishna. It's not how much you have, it's how you use what you've got that really counts. You can be a pauper in the street and more happy than a billionaire. Look at the example in the Chaitanya Lila. You know that Kalavecha Shridhar? He's a very poor man. Very, very poor man. He earned his living by taking the banana leaves and making cups and selling them in the market. But banana leaves are growing everywhere in Mayapur. Is it a hot commodity? No, it's not a hot commodity. So he's a very poor man, but whatever money he got, he would spend half of it in the worship of Mother Ganges. And Lord Chaitanya was so pleased with his devotion, he would personally come and associate with Kalavecha Shuddha. So he's a great devotee, even though he's living in poverty. So it doesn't matter whether you're a millionaire or you're a pauper or somewhere in the middle. What matters is how you utilize whatever you have in the service of Krishna. And this is what Bhagavad Gita is teaching. You see? As long as I think I'm the proprietor, I don't care how much you have, you're not going to be happy. You will not be happy. Don't think otherwise. Because you don't own anything. Your mama, nothing is mine. You can't even claim your body is your own property. It belongs to the earth. And when you die, it'll go back into the earth. You see? We can't claim anything here. So from the Bhagavad Gita, we learn to see everything as the property of the Lord and to engage everything in the property of the Lord. And this brings us to a wonderful state of mind called Krishna consciousness. Do you know what it means to be Krishna conscious? Is it just some slogan, Krishna consciousness? No, it's an actual state of exalted perception. You understand my point? It is a state of exalted perception, of seeing everything in relationship with Krishna. At the present moment, we're seeing everything in relationship to ourselves. We are seeing ourselves as the center of the universe. Therefore, we are unhappy because it's an artificial position. I am not the center of the universe. You are not the center of the universe. Our attempts to make ourselves the center of the universe are causing us frustration because we're never able to do it. We try to be the center of the universe, but we can never successfully pull it off. We always will be a failure. We will always be frustrated. Therefore, instead of trying to be the center of the universe, just try to see that Krishna is the center of the universe and engage everything in the service of Krishna. That is called Krishna consciousness. So the next line, Raja Vidya Rajagavam Pavitram. That's the next statement in this verse. Pavitram. The purest. The purest knowledge. You see? But what does that mean then? If we say this is the purest knowledge, does that mean that other types of knowledge are contaminated? Yeah. They're not fully pure. They're less pure, is it? And that's a fact. We get in other types of knowledge and they get tinged with the bodily conception of life. And I say, how are you doing? Or where are you from? Well, I'm from Mauritius. That's impure knowledge, you see. There's an impurity there. Where are you from? Mauritius. Wait a minute. The Atma's from Mauritius? The Atma existed long before this universe came into being. How you can say you're from Mauritius? You see, I'm Mauritius, that's an impurity. We say it, these things, but this is impurity. Because the soul has existed long before this universe came into existence. So there's so many examples of impure knowledge. Pure knowledge and the very purest of all knowledge is Bhagavad Gita. So we have to come out of the misconceptions. The impure types of knowledge don't bring us pure happiness. Impure knowledge means impure happiness means... And what is impure happiness? It means happiness mixed with misery. Do you understand my point? Pure happiness means pure bliss. Impure happiness means happiness mixed with misery. And the more your happiness becomes impure, or your knowledge becomes impure, the more your knowledge, the more your happiness becomes turned into unhappiness. You see? If your knowledge is 99% pure, then you're 99% happy. If your knowledge is only 10% pure, you're 90% miserable. So it's very important to have a pure, clear understanding of who you are, what is reality, where does this world come from, where do I come from, where does everything come from, why is everything going on the way it's going. It's absolutely essential to have a pure understanding of all of these things. Otherwise, you cannot be happy. And you want to be happy, don't you? Or would you rather be miserable? Who wants to be happy? Raise your hand. Jai, I see you didn't raise yours. So that means you can be miserable. But you had your hand in your bead bag, so maybe you're okay. So the next line. And because it gives direct perception of the self by realization. Now what does that mean? Can't I just look in the mirror and see myself? Who needs Bhagavad Gita? I can look in a mirror, isn't it? Someone may argue. I see myself every day when I get up in the morning. I go to the mirror, comb my hair, shave my face. I see myself every day. Why do I need Bhagavad Gita? Well, my dear sir, let me inform you, that's not really you you're looking at in the mirror. That's just a covering. It's just a garment you're wearing. You think you're a male? You think you're a female? Well, I'm sorry, that's just a garment you're wearing right now. You're not really, that's not really you. You think you're a male? Well, you're a woman in your previous life. You think you're a male? Well, you're a woman in this way, you see. These are just coverings. You're thinking you're an Indian or a Hindu or this or that. It's a covering, you see. You may have been a Muslim in a previous birth, or a Christian, or a Sikh. You see what I'm saying? You have to come out of the false identification with your material body. And the Bhagavad Gita teaches you how to do that. You have to wake up and realize you're the Atma. You're the eternal spiritual particle. You see, you're a subatomic, indivisible, indestructible, infinitesimal particle of antimaterial energy. That's your actual identity, spiritual energy. And what is the nature of that spiritual spark? To serve the complete whole, serve Krishna. So one may say, well, how can you say I should serve God? I mean, that sounds like some kind of religious propaganda. I mean, I'm not religious. Why do you tell me I have to serve God? I don't feel comfortable with that idea. I just want to be independent. Why you should tell me I have to serve God? Well, I can tell you this. It is a natural principle that the part always serves the whole. Just look at your body, for example. Your hand. And look at the whole body. What is the relationship between the hand and the body? The hand, by nature, serves the body. The part, by nature, serves the whole. Just like in your automobile. You see, each part of the automobile serves the function of the entire automobile. That is the nature. So, since we are part of a complete whole, each one of us is part of a complete whole, we are by nature meant to serve that complete whole. So Krishna says, I am that complete whole, you see. So you cannot deny that you are part of something greater than yourself. If you do, you're a complete deluded madman. Some people say, well, what do you mean? I am the complete whole. Can't you see that I am the complete whole? I am God. Many people claim that they are God. Then why do they have to run to the dentist when they get a toothache? You understand my point? So we are part of something greater than ourselves. That complete whole, that is God. Therefore, by nature, we must serve God. And then Krishna says it is the perfection of religion. Many people say, well, there's this religion, there's that religion, but you know what? That's not true. Religion is one to develop love for God. As soon as you cut religion into pieces, this religion, that religion, that's no longer religion. That's religiosity. It's not true religion. Religion is one to develop love for the Supreme. Baba says, anyone who's developed love of God, whether we don't care if they're a Christian, a Hindu, a Muslim, a Jain, a Sikh, a Buddhist, whatever they may be, we don't care what their designation is. Anyone who has developed love of God is a first-class religious person. We don't teach Hindu religion here. We are teaching the universal religion of the soul in relationship with the Supreme. That is the true meaning of Hindu Dharma, actually. It's not a sectarian conception. True meaning. The next Krishna says, it is everlasting. This knowledge doesn't change.
Krishna millions of years ago spoke this knowledge to the sun god Vivishvam. When he spoke it to Arjuna, he didn't change it. He kept it just like it is. 5,000 years ago we spoke it to Arjuna. Now we are speaking it here in 2014. Are we changing the teachings? Do the teachings have to be modified? No. If you modify the teachings, they're not the teachings. Therefore, Bhagavad Gita, as it is, we have to keep it as it is. If you want to change the meaning to make it popular, vox populi, you will destroy the whole thing. Whatever teachings Krishna has given, we have to keep them pure. Whatever Prabhupada has given us, we have to keep Prabhupada's teachings as they are. We can't tamper with them and say, well, this one we like, that one we don't like. We will reject this part of Prabhupada's teachings and accept this part of Prabhupada's teachings. Do you know what that's called? Ardha Kukuti Nyaya. Half-hand logic. You know the story of the farmer with the hen? Does everybody know that story? This farmer, he had a hen. And this hen was laying very nice big, big eggs, which commanded a very nice price in the market. But he was thinking, I love this hen, but there's one problem I have with this hen. He eats, or she eats so much chicken feed. This is so expensive to maintain this hen. She eats so much. So I know what I'll do. I like this hen that lays the eggs, and I don't like this hen that eats all that chicken feed, so I'll cut off the head of the hen, and I'll get the eggs without having to feed the hen. Just see what a foolish man this farmer was. So he did that. He couldn't figure out why the hen stopped laying the eggs. He killed the hen by cutting off the head of the hen. So if you say, I like this part of the Bhagavad Gita, I don't like this part. I like this part of Prabhupada's teachings, I don't like that part, so I have a cut. You see? Transcendental bliss, that's great. Give up sense gratification, that's no good. Let's take that out. Sense gratification is allowed, and have transcendental bliss. Well, guess what? You just killed the hen. You may think you have transcendental bliss by engaging in sense gratification, but guess what? You're deluding yourself. You're not getting true transcendental bliss. You're not getting Krishna. You're simply getting sense gratification in the name of religion. So follow the actual Bhagavad Gita as it is. Don't tamper with the message. Keep it pure. And then what is the last thing Krishna says? Susukam katamam yayam. It is joyfully performed. Well, we know the word sukham or sukha means happiness, you see. But susukham means very, very happy. So if you want susukham, if you want the transcendental bliss that goes beyond any pleasure you can experience anywhere, even in the heavenly planets, then you have to come to the platform of Krishna Bhakti. If you come to this platform, you will experience a happiness which goes beyond any happiness in this material world. What is the greatest happiness in this material world? You know what it is? I'll tell you. It's confirmed in the Bhagavatam. You see? Yan maitinadi grihamedi sukham vitucham. The number one happiness here is S-E-X. Sex. That's the number one pleasure in this material world. Everybody is wild after sex. Sex, 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 sex. You see? But when you come to Krishna consciousness, sex is not very attractive anymore, because Krishna, connecting with Krishna is millions and billions of times more juicy, more relishable, more ecstatic, more euphoric, more uplifting, more thrilling than any type of sex pleasure you could ever have anywhere in the three worlds, even in the heavenly planets. So that's susukam, you see. So come to this Krishna consciousness platform. That is our request. And you will achieve unlimited happiness beyond your wildest dreams. Train your children, but you train them by your example. Simply to have people studying some verses and memorizing some verses without realizing the purport, without implementing them, is not very significant then. We can hand out certificates, and that's very nice. Prabhupada wanted us to certify people as and learn it in this. He set up this Bhakti Shastri system. It's a very good system. But even more important is you have to become a living embodiment of these teachings. Don't think, well, now I got my certificate on the wall, I'm a pure devotee, I'm going back to Godhead. You can have a certificate and still stay in the cycle of birth and death. Your certificate is to help you become fixed in this practice of Krishna consciousness. But don't think, now my business is finished, I have my certificate. Now I can go back to sense gratification, my video games, or whatever, because I have my certificate. No. Doesn't work that way. You have to become mad after God, that every minute you want to connect with Krishna. That is Krishna consciousness. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.